LBC weather.
Every time I come out the news, you hunt for the weather button. It's just kind of lost in a blizzard of buttons. There's so many buttons in front of us. And just whoever designed this studio, really, I'm not kidding, they should be taken out and shot. Here's one, I don't know why I said that, because what I'm going to do now is read the weather. So here's one doesn't fit. 10 degrees, 50 Fahrenheit tonight, that's 8 and 46 outside of town. Fine spell of weather will continue into tomorrow morning. Dry and bright day in store with some light easterly wind. Ah, it's kind of coming in too late now. Now, less like summer, more like autumn. But 21 degrees tomorrow, that's 70 Fahrenheit.
LBC Travel.
Problems for drivers in Loughton. Chigwell Lane is closed off following an accident to either side of the M11 at Junction 5. There's no access from Oakwood Hill, the M11 or Rolls Park Corner at this time. A127, an accident there on the South End Arterial Road between the M25 and Hall Lane. Queuing traffic westbound at the Squirrels Heath Road lights back towards the Upminster Turn. The Oval Cricket Ground delays there in the area. Now the England versus New Zealand cricket match has come to an end. And the A10 Kingsland Road at Shoreditch has delays expected because of sewer works northbound around the junction of Falkirk Street. Moving to public transport, Silverlink County Overground trains between Watford and St Albans have no service because of emergency track repairs. Tickets are being accepted on Thameslink services. On the Underground, Piccadilly line delays, District line delays, Bakerloo line trains not stopping at Paddington for fire safety checks, northbound trains not calling at Kenton Station either. And on the Central line, there's no service between North Acton and Ealing Broadway. I'm Daniel G at AA Vodafone Roadwatch for LBC Travel.
And you had more music than you needed.
It's Nick Abbott and Carol McGiffin.
On LBC, the voice of London. And Carol McGiffin. 0171 412 1152.
Madam is away watching two people be betrothed to each other. I suppose they're betrothed already. So she's just sucking up the free booze now and has promised that she will call. In the meantime, here's one in Highgate. Hello, Jenny. Oops. Wrong one. 15. Hello, Jenny.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. I was just driving along, and I was listening to you on the radio.
Minding your own business.
Yeah. And you were talking about an ad you'd seen on a bus.
Yeah.
And I got to the top of Cricklewood Lane, the Hampstead end, and I've seen this amazing ad.
What's it?
I don't know what it means. I think it's for a radio station, but the traffic was bad and I couldn't go back for a second look, but it said this: an ugly man with no money might as well cut off his penis.
Yeah, that's Howard Stern.
Is it?
Yeah. And yeah, you'll have us taken off the air now, because Howard Stern, he's one of the biggest talk show hosts in American radio.
All right. So was it done to shock? Yeah.
Well, that's what he does for a living. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's certainly true. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, believe it. He's got a TV program as well, which airs on Bravo, I believe.
Right.
Which I don't get because it's not on digital.
So is he going to be on the radio here, or he is already, or what?
No, he would. With the rules that we have to work to in this country, he'd last about 5 seconds on the radio over here. They would, because there's the same kind of mentality that used to suffuse television still does radio, and there's a lot of
like shock jock or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of elderly people with blue rinses in their hair that would freak out and and have him banned from the station, any station,
right,
instantly.
Right. Well, I'm not quite the blue rinse brigade yet. I'm still in my 40s, but it sort of, I was driving along quite, you know, just coming from Brent Cross, and I thought, did I read that right? And obviously I did.
But what do you subscribe to the truth of that statement? That basically the only thing that would interest a woman in a man is either looks or money, specifically the latter?
Well, I did think of that. I gave it quite a lot of thought on the way home and thought of all the men I have known.
Yeah, known in the biblical sense.
Yes, probably. And
let me ask you this. Have you known all the men you've known?
No, of course not. Of course not. If only I'd have known all the men I...
Then you wouldn't be wasting your time calling me.
I wouldn't have,
You'd have two dates tonight already, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But, would you think that that's right?
Well, I think there's,
There's an element of truth in it.
So. I'd like to know what Carol thinks about it anyway.
Well, Madam is away.
I know she is, but she's going to phone in, hopefully.
Well, maybe. I don't know. If she
Well, ask her when she comes back anyway, but,
My money's on her not remembering what the number is.
Oh, you are in a bad mood tonight.
No, I bet she doesn't remember what the number is, because we always sit here and we read it off the screen.
Oh, it's true, like your own number. When somebody asks me my telephone number, I have to stop and think, because it's true, you don't know your own number.
Blimey, you are out of your mind. They allow you to, to drive a car in traffic.
In traffic, yeah. And thinking what I'm going to wear tonight. So there you go.
But the money thing, now, are you interested more in, now be honest, in money or looks? Because I think that the female of the species is programmed, just like men are programmed genetically from tens of thousands of years ago to seek out as many partners as they can for the propagation of the species. So women are programmed in the same respect to seek out the healthiest to protect them and their baby while they're sitting in the cave, to go out and hunt for food. Mm. And these days, the ability to get food does not mean, broad shoulders.
No.
It means a vast wallet.
Well, I must say, I've always been a sucker for a good-looking man.
Excuse me? 0171 412 1153. It's funny. In Edinburgh. Hello.
Hi there, Nick. How's it going?
So-so. Yeah.
Good.
Are you a regular caller in Edinburgh?
I'm not actually, no, because when I phoned in, I think there was some confusion because the guy said on the phone, who are you phoning from? I said Edinburgh. And he just went, oh my God. I think he seemed to think it was that net nerd guy from Edinburgh that phones in.
He's all right.
Yeah, I think he's okay, but it was just a sort of bad reaction when I phoned in.
Now, are you, are you listening to us on the World Wide Wait?
I am indeed, yeah. I usually do, but I never phone in, but I thought I'd give you a phone tonight because, you were struggling and stuff with the calls, yeah. And I guess I'm probably one of these, like, lurker people that would never, ever phone in. But I thought I'd give you a quick spy report from the Edinburgh Festival, tell you what was going on.
Now, have you, living as you do in Edinburgh, do you have any connection with the festival at all, or do you just sort of let it go by, and then when it's over and done with, and all the American tourists leave, you think, oh, well, maybe I should have actually gone on to see, some stand-up comedy or theatre or a show, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm not one of those people, but I think most of Edinburgh people are. They just, like, I think they seem to think it's some sort of weirdo students doing something up at the university, putting on a play or something like that, and
but there's also,
they just can't be bothered with it.
Yeah, there's also, it's like I don't go to tourist destinations in London, because they're always going to be there, and I know that the festival is only on for a month at most, but there is the sense that, well, it's here, it's always here, next year it'll still be here, and you don't tend to go out of your way to do things that are on your own doorstep. It's like when you go abroad, you go out every night. Am I right? Like you go to a restaurant, you go clubbing every single day, unless you're, really old, when you, skip the clubbing part because you're asleep by 8. But, if you're relatively young and you don't go, like, I don't go clubbing in this country, like, hardly ever at all. But when I go abroad, every single night.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's something to do with being on holiday, though, isn't it? You've just got to go for it when you're on holiday.
Listen, I'm always on holiday. My entire life is on holiday.
Burn the candle at both ends, yeah?
Not really. I don't tend to do very much at all. How I fill my time, I've got no idea, but it just goes.
But you must be so lucky because, I mean, the stuff that you work, like 3 hours a day or whatever, you've got so much time on your hands, and you probably get a decent wedge for what you do, and you've got all that time.
I know.
What do you do with it?
And still I'm miserable.
You should be sort of seeking out things,
I need
reading
help.
Reading decent books. reading all the papers.
Yeah, I know.
But you've got all that time, because like everybody else, nobody's got any time to do anything anymore.
You're right.
So you get, A, you get okay money for what you do.
Yeah.
And B, you've got all that time. You've got all that leisure time, so...
I know, I get the best of both worlds, because people who are on the dole got a lot of time, no money with which to do anything with it. And I've been there, and I know, and you kind of, and you end up not doing anything at all. All you've got is time when you're on the dole, and you don't do anything at all.
Yeah.
You know, there's a vast amount of free things you can go to. You can go to the theatre, not the theatre, excuse me, you can go to art galleries, you can go to the library and read books, and you can go and get healthy, and so on and so on. But you don't do any of them, you just kind of lie in your bed all day and stare at the ceiling, and, you know, woe is me, and all that jazz. Or you queue up outside the pub at 11 o'clock waiting for it to open. But, yeah, me, I got tons of time and, you know, a decent amount of money. And I don't do anything at all. But at all. And my mother said to me the other day, what do you actually do? Well, how do you spend your time? And I didn't have an answer. I've got no idea. The time just goes.
Yeah, do you have a life? I mean...
No. Television is my life.
That's no life. You need to get out more. Just pick up a hobby or something.
Well, hobby... Teenagers have, like, not teenagers, even preteens have hobbies. Hobby? Like what, for instance?
Pick up flying or something.
Flying? I can't flap my arms that fast. Flying?
Well, you know, if you've got a bit of money, you can sort of go and get flying.
I haven't got that much money.
Like, you watch all the films and stuff. You're a member of a video club, yeah?
No. A video club?
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, you like a video store where you go and get your rent videos.
I haven't rented a video in a good long while, actually. DVDs, I buy them from America.
Right.
I'm the person that is, you know, you read a figure about internet, like the amount of money spent on the internet. Yeah, yeah. That's me.
What else? You must be able to do something. Just get you out of the house and.
No, I don't actually do anything. But I'm always late for everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like today, I was in here about what 6:30. Now, if you can't get to work at 6 at night on time, that is there's some sort of problem here, I think.
Yeah. So
what have you seen in the festival so far?
Well, I saw a couple of free things, just like review things, and they were sort of people that I knew people in them. So, and the sort of first night or whatever, you know, there's nobody coming through the door, so they give you free tickets. And to be honest, they were fairly crap, because I think there's a lot of people. Anybody could have a show at Edinburgh Festival, yeah. As long as you've got the money, if you've got the money to do it, and you've got that sort of ego, then you can get a show, you can get a venue, and you can do it. And regardless of whether it's going to be any quality at all. And because it costs so much, they basically lose on it. They lose thousands, you know, if they're doing a show. They have to try and recover some money, so it's going to be like £7 or £8 a ticket just to get in. So you think, well, I'll go along, I'll try it. I mean, this was free, but if you're paying your £8 or whatever, you're just subsidising their ego, aren't you? You're just subsidising their fantasy to be up there on stage.
Yeah, you're right. I know somebody that's got a show at the Edinburgh Festival this year. I couldn't believe when she told me, I heard that she was going up there. I don't know if I should tell you who it is. She's a DJ, and she's suddenly out of the blue.
Said, oh, is it begins with W?
Yeah.
I've seen publicity for her, yeah.
Wendy Lloyd?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What is she doing?
I've no idea. She's starring with somebody else. Is it like some sort of comedy sketch thing or something?
I've got absolutely no idea. Coming up on my screen here, Wendy Lloyd, she's on Sean's show on Saturday on LBC. Right, she does the video reviews. Yeah, so,
right.
Okay. But then I'm telling people who ordinarily listen to the station, but we've already established that nobody who listens to the station listens to this show.
Yeah, do you think these radar figures could be wrong? I mean,
I'm convinced that more people listen than are shown in the radar figures. Like, yeah, unfortunately, the radar figures, there's...
Are they a good sample? I mean, are they statistically sound?
No, I don't believe that they are, because the amount of people responding is 9. And from those 9, they're taking it to make a figure, you know, of thousands, which is not statistically significant at all. I mean, that you just can't rely on those figures.
Yeah.
But they are. But if you just look at the graph, the up and down graph, this show, the audience of this show is sucks. Basically, we're doing disastrous business over here, and I think it's specifically because we do not appeal to the age of the audience that ordinarily listens to this station, because every single one of them tunes out at six, and as I said before, and a whole different audience who doesn't appear in the ratings for any other show for the entire week comes in and listens just to us and then goes away again. So we're...
that isn't so good, does it?
Well, we're a stranger in a strange land over here. So like I said before, either they're going to have to go for a younger audience where we might fit in, because, you know, eventually everyone who listens will be dead. You know, that's the bad news.
Within it's like, you know, you're talking before about cricket.
Within five or 10 years, the you know, everyone's going to be dead who listens to this station. So either they're going to have to go for a younger audience, and then we'd fit in here, or can he continue to plough the furrow that they're doing at the moment and get rid of us?
That's right, because you want a sort of reasonably younger audience that you can take with you until your respective death. You can take with you.
Well, that's going to come too soon for comfort, I'm afraid.
Yeah, but you know, you were talking about the cricket earlier on, and you know why they're spending vast sums of money putting on Channel 4. I don't understand why they're doing that, because if you look at the actual audience in the stadium, there's nobody there. So if nobody actually is interested to go and see it, you know, who's going to be interested in watching on TV?
That's a good point. I can't believe that anybody actually is interested in cricket.
Yeah.
It's got to be the most ponderous game that's ever been invented.
And the people that do go there, they're not actually watching. If you look at them, they're basically some old fart that's half asleep, or there's somebody there that's reading the paper, or they're sitting around in a group in a circle.
Yeah,
like they're just sitting out in the park or something.
Yeah.
And nobody's actually watching the play. What's going on?
I think that's how cricket was originally became popular, because you go out in the village green and you know, there's people you know, but you're not actually watching the game, because it's just
a background thing, isn't
it? Yeah, it's too slow and boring. So what you're actually doing is you're having a picnic, and you're you know, getting drunk, and you're chatting with your friends, and then every now and again someone will hit a ball in your direction, and you duck or you throw it back or whatever it is, and you know, it sounds lovely, don't it? You know, spending a sunny afternoon on the village green.
Yeah.
But when you suddenly put it on TV and try to make it exciting, and you know, put it in a stadium where tens of thousands of people can come along and act like it's a real sport, then suddenly you think, no, it's like darts. You know, televised darts, what the hell's that about? Darts is about doing something in between drinking. It's nothing to look at in itself,
yeah.
So, which is exactly like cricket. It's something that you want to concentrate on. It's something that, you know, when the conversation flags, you look over and see how they're doing.
Yeah. See, as well, just like going along to the local village park then and getting pissed over there.
It would be much...
listening to the ball.
Yeah, much, much more enjoyable. I can't believe...
quid on it. Yeah.
I can't believe that Channel 4, who normally seem to have their act together, have spent any money on cricket, because cricket does not sit well on that station.
Yeah.
The ancient age of the people that watch cricket wouldn't like anything else on Channel 4.
Yeah.
So I don't... I guess the blood must have gone to their heads and cricket rights came up, and they thought, oh, well, we haven't got any football at all, and the BBC are... Yeah, they're down at the moment, so we might as well kick them. Let's take their cricket.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think they thought it through, because, you know, TV people, let's face it, they're not that bright. Just turn on the TV and you can figure that out in a second. And so, and just because it's on television doesn't mean to say that it's right or has been well thought through. And
because when they first started putting cricket on TV, it was like, it was on BBC Two when they never used to show anything else in the afternoon. So it was either the test card, or if there was cricket on, they'd show cricket. And most people wouldn't be able to distinguish between the two.
Yeah, exactly. One's as exciting as the other.
Yeah. And then they have these sort of crazy things where they put the cricket on through the night. Have you seen that? They're really into that in Australia.
No.
Where they have these all-day tests. These all-day one-day internationals, where it starts in the day and then goes through the night. So they have like black kind of like sporting gear on, and the ball's white so you can see it, and it goes all the way through the night.
Well, so in other words, people are coming back from clubs absolutely out of it, and they just want something that's calming and relaxed. All they need to do is put cricket on with some Brian Eno music in the background.
Apri Club Entertainment. Yeah,
bingo, you've got instant hippie TV.
Yeah. Okay.
Same with the snooker. Perfect, because it's green, so it's easy on the eye, and there's lots of little coloured balls. It can't get any better than that.
Just like the chill-out room, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And listen, thanks very much.
No problem.
And gotta go.
Good luck. See you later.
0171-412-1152.
Sorry about this, London.
0171-412-1152. Saturday nights with Abbott and McGiffin.
I can't help it. I can't stop listening.
And that Gibbon woman will be calling later, otherwise I'll kill her. Here's one in Hackney. Hello.
Hello, Anna, Nick. How are you?
I'm all right.
Good. Yeah, I was talking about that advert that that lady was talking about earlier.
The Howard Stern advert, yes. I see them all over the town
now. Three rooms, yes. I saw it when I was on a bus, and I was the only woman on the bus. And as soon as we went past it, every single man on the bus looked at it and looked absolutely...
horrified.
Horrified.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, only losers take the bus. I mean...
oh,
that...
no.
I mean that in a nice way.
I felt so bad about it. I went, yeah, how awful.
We should do
a... oh, you know.
Yeah, we should do a survey. Do people who take the bus actually ever get to have sex?
Well, I don't, so that's one.
Well, I'll tick you off in the no column. What do you mean you never get to have sex?
For a while.
Well, what's a while?
Oh, a good year. A
couple of hours? A year?
Yeah, yeah, long time.
Now, is that because, do you actually want to talk about this?
No, I haven't found the right person for a while, so...
You haven't found them? Well, I mean, do you ever leave the house? You've been on a bus, for crying out loud. There's no...
I do leave the house, yes.
You could meet your own type on a bus.
Yeah.
So you read this thing, that Howard Stern, who is America's archetypal shock jock, if you like.
Yeah.
He said that an ugly man with no money might as well...
Cut off his penis,
exactly.
I was very shocked.
And you think about that, what?
That's a bit rude. I won't say exactly what I thought, but...
What do you think about the veracity of that statement? You think that is true?
No, I don't.
So you would be interested in an ugly poor bloke?
Well, what's ugly?
Is that why you keep hanging around buses?
What's ugly, though? It's like, how do you define what ugly is?
Well, you know what, as soon as you see it, you know you're seeing it.
Do I?
Of course.
Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose so.
You still haven't answered the question.
No, what was the question?
The question is, do you think that you'd be interested in an ugly bloke with no money?
Well, they'd have to be very, very nice.
Rich.
Some other way. No, they just have to be the nicest person.
What, you mean he'd have
world.
To have an absolutely enormous personality?
Absolutely, yeah. I'd have to get on with them really well. Yeah.
So I think what we're saying is, no. Isn't it?
I'm not interested in money at all, so...
You're not at all?
Not really, no.
Oh, so if there was somebody who was nice, who would be able to take you out of nice restaurants and maybe take you across to Paris for the weekend, something like that, maybe take you to Amsterdam, put you up in a night in a corner suite in a nice hotel and, you know, take you to... in November, when it's cold, you could go to Bermuda. Mm. Oh, can you imagine? You'd be lying on the beach there with the white sands and the waves are lapping gently on the shore, and all you'd be waiting for is somebody to bring you your next cocktail. That doesn't interest you?
It'd be a bonus, but it wouldn't be my sort of prime reason for going for them. That makes sense.
I suppose. Now, I don't know whether to believe you or not, though, because, I mean, that's just the sort of thing that you would say, so as not to seem...
No, I'm really not. I'm just not that much of a money person. It doesn't particularly... As long as I can live and I can eat and I've got a roof over my head, I don't really care about the rest. It would be nice, but I'm not going to cry about it, you know?
And when you see somebody who's really rich who goes past you in, like, a sky blue Rolls Royce, something like that...
I'll probably stick my finger up at them.
There you go. That's envy. So, in other words, everything that you just said is completely wrong. You are so desperate for money, it's just that you have ruled that out as a possibility in your life.
No.
And to get to that conclusion, if you had gone to see a Freudian psychoanalyst, it would take you 5 years. I did it in 20 seconds.
You did?
Yeah. The bill is the same, by the way.
What bill?
Well, you'll find it on your doorstep. on Monday morning.
Oh.
Best of luck.
Okay.
Oh, and so I hope she's already bought her bus pass, because come Tuesday she won't be able to afford one.
Next on the Nick Abbott and Carol McGiffin Show. Did we tell you that?
Nick Abbott and Carol McGiffin on LBC. The Voice of London.
Of course, the longer it goes before Madam calls, the longer she will have been at the reception of the celebrity wedding of the week, and the less sense she will make. So as the time goes on, I'm getting more and more nervous about it. Here's one in, oh, blimey, here we go again, Glasgow.
Good evening, mate.
No, you're no good to me in Glasgow. If everybody that listened to this show was in London and selling out Rajars, then this would be the most listened to show on the planet.
I'm just talking about the Rajars. I'm thinking, how does that actually work out? Does a wee guy set out the studios or something, monitor it or something?
No, what they do is they give out diaries to thousands of people, mm-hmm. and they ask them to write down what they listen to during the week.
Oh, is it those people you see in the high street with the clipboards?
And... No. You actually get a physical diary to use in your house.
I've never had one.
No, me either. Nor have I ever seen or met or heard from anyone who ever has. Apparently, they're out there. And what they do is, every time they listen to something, they tick off in the appropriate column what they've listened to. Mm-hmm. And it's a phenomenon that the later on in the week it goes, the less people are bothered to tick off.
So you're at the bottom, but yeah, basically you're at the top. Yeah, like Nick Abbott.
No, because they start on Monday.
Right.
And people are very diligent on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and they're ticking it off. And by come the end of the week, especially at the weekend, it's like, oh, you can't be bothered anymore. So if you're on at the weekend,
they just leave it blank.
Well, there's a fall off in reported listening at the weekend. So, that's not an excuse for the diabolical figures that I'm getting over here, but it's a recognised effect. Yeah.
So it doesn't work over the internet then, the radar?
No.
No, not at all.
But I believe that they have a site that you can look the figures up.
Right. I'm so not sure. We should stop listening to you on the internet then, and move to London.
Yeah, their site is all the W's dot Rajar, R-A-J-A-R dot co dot UK. Now, you only appear as listening if you have got a diary.
Right.
And unfortunately, that only 9 people with a diary listen to this show. Which means that they extrapolate from 9 into a few thousand, not much.
Yeah. I heard the guy talking about sports, especially cricket. Well, we have to endure cricket in Scotland. You know, why do they give it to us? You know, oh, that's my phone just about to die here.
Well, I went to a school in Edinburgh, and the thing that they made us do in the summer was cricket. I just couldn't figure that out at all. Yeah,
we should have a thing in Channel 4. Remember the BBC used to do this, except viewers in Scotland?
Yeah.
We should have that.
I thought they did have a separate Channel 4 for Scotland.
Oh, no, when it suits them.
Is it S4C?
No, that's...
Or is that Wales?
That's Wales.
Why does Wales have their own channel and Scotland doesn't?
I've got no idea. We've got our own ITV. That's slightly different. That's like we've got STV, you know? They kind of split.
The thing about ITV, and it's perhaps because it's just what I'm used to, but ITV in places that's not London always looks a bit, it's obvious, but provincial. A bit like second rate. A bit cheap.
It's all part of the same company, I suppose, isn't it?
Well, it is, but they're not, talking to each other. It's like the BBC, when they have the national news, mm-hmm. swiftly followed by your local news.
That's right. BBC Scotland.
Right, and the local news, particularly if you live in London, is often exactly the same as the national news.
Yeah.
And the reason is because they don't talk to each other.
That's right.
The people who do the national news, they think they're, you know, they're totally up themselves and are far too important and big to be talking to the small people from the local news programme. So they never discuss anything with each other, which is why you'll have one story in the national news immediately followed by the same damn story in your local news.
Yeah, that's the thing. Especially see cricket, you're talking about like sport getting shown in telly.
The market for cricket in Scotland must be zero.
Zero. What about table tennis on the telly? That is ridiculous.
Where do they have table tennis and TV?
Oh, they've got that in the telly. Oh, I'm sure you can dig it out, one of these Channel 5 programmes through the night. I'm sure you'll get it there, you know?
Maybe only on Eurosport, where they're so desperate to fill their time with just anything that they'd have, abseiling and...
That's right, and also, what else have they got? They've got squash as well, hitting a ball against a wall. That's another thing that...
squash is tennis folded over on itself.
And tennis is
kind of interesting on TV, but squash isn't, because the ball doesn't actually go anywhere. And it goes, and where it goes is so fast you can't follow it.
And even badminton, you know, they've got a shuttlecock. This feather thing that you hit over a net.
It's so colossally boring to watch. Kind of interesting to play. It's okay, but you don't have to be that great because it hangs in the air quite a lot.
The worst sport ever has got to be rugby.
Well, no, I can understand why people would want to watch rugby.
Well, I tell you, why? They pass the ball back to run forward, and then they kick the ball over the bar.
Well, they've got it all, arse about face in that game. The ball's not the right shape, the stamping on each other seems to be part of the game, which I don't really understand. And they pick it up. It's amazing that the referee doesn't see them do that.
Exactly.
What they should actually be doing is kicking it along the ground.
And they don't get a foul.
Yeah, where can I make a complaint?
Well, I tell you what, we're all going to move to London. So your radar figures will go up.
Well, that would be actually excellent.
Yeah.
Can you do that for me?
We'll do it. We'll have a wee meeting.
Super duper.
The Nick Abbott fan club will all move. We could do, like, see all the elderly people. They want to live in Glasgow or Edinburgh. We could ship them all up by...
Yeah, we'll do a little swapsie.
Yeah, you know, one of these tours. You know the tours that the Blue Rins Brigade go on? We could do this.
The tea is lovely up there. I'm sure they'd have a great time.
Yes, I'm sure they could come up here with the neck curtains and everything. And
you're the only caller that's ever made any sense on this programme. Thanks a lot, mate.
No problem.
0171 412 1152. It's LBC. I'm Nick Abbott. It's me and Carol's show, or Carol and my show. Carol and I do this show. Carol is at Zoe Ball's wedding and will be calling us from it whenever she remembers that that's what she promised to do. Here's one in Northolt. Hello.
Hi, Nick.
How you doing?
Fine, thanks. Hi. Just before I come out with my main point, I'm doing completely the opposite. I'm actually moving away from London.
Don't do it.
I've got no choice. I go to boarding school.
Right. And where do you go to boarding school?
I go to boarding school in Worcester. I am one of the blind people.
Well, that must be Worcester. Is that quite nice and the air is clean and the birds are singing in the trees and
it's
the...
boring.
Well...
It's all right when you're on the other station, because I could listen to you. And even on your other station that you're on now, I can't listen to you anymore, because you do a show at a really annoying time for me.
Well, it's super for me. I start work at 1. You didn't get any better than that.
I know, but can't you think... Well, think of all the people that just can't...
What am I? Am I here for your amusement?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, but...
Well, listen to me on the World Wide Web. Get a pewter for you, huh?
I can't. I can send you any. I can send you as many emails as I like, but I can't listen to you.
Why not?
Well, cuz I can't.
Well, what kind of an excuse is that? Well, cuz I can't. What do they teach you in this school?
No, but even if you want to, like, send emails, you have to send them to the kind of computer technician chap who sends them out, or who sends them out from there.
So, now, is that because it's physically impossible for you to do it, or do they check what you're saying?
I would guess.
Is it a censorship
a
thing?
Both.
Really? They censor your mail?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
No, I don't think they censor it. I don't know if they actually look at it, but they send it for us. And so if anyone replies to us, we have to wait for them to send it to us.
But don't you find that a dreadful impinging on your personal freedom and private life?
I'd be quite embarrassed sending you an email, actually, in case someone checked it.
That's, isn't there a... Because it's a school for teenagers, right?
Yeah.
Well, you see, high on hormones, and you'd be sending, little messages of love and affection to whoever it might be, and these have to be checked before they go out?
I think they obviously assume that our hormones only sort of go around college. They only go around school, I think.
Well, aren't you kids mad as hell? Aren't you thinking of not taking it anymore?
Yeah.
Well, I would complain about
that. That's
absolutely outrageous. No, I didn't go to a boarding school, so perhaps this is common practice, like a prison, where you check it. That sounds like what you're describing, where they check everybody's mail. That sounds outrageous to me.
Oh, yeah. And also, the phone... the phone... Because we like staying boarding houses, right? And the phone room has got glass in the door, so everyone can look in at you. The door doesn't shut quite properly, so everyone can listen to what you're saying as well.
And what's the name of this place? Stalag Luft what?
I couldn't say. I couldn't say in case one...
I am outraged.
I'll give you a ring from there if you like, Nick, if you're sort of still on the air.
Well, if you manage to duck under the searchlights and you evade the dogs, yeah. But don't take your own life, at risk.
I've got a mobile.
Wow, okay, so, yeah.
Hello.
Get around the censorship by, having your own form of communication.
Well, no.
Good man.
Well, this is another thing, Nick. I shouldn't be doing this rubbish in the school, but so what? There's another thing, right? We're not allowed to use mobile phones in any of the buildings. And they won't tell us why, but so I've got my own theory about it. It's so that the school don't lose money from us making long phone calls. You know, because we use pay phones.
And the school gets a cut?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting theory.
And because we...
What you need to do is you go to the gym and hide inside one of those hobby horses and start digging. As soon as you're out, then, get into civvy clothes and I'll meet you in Switzerland. Thanks a lot, mate. 0171 412 1152. It's LBC. I'm Nick Abbott. And here's one in Edgware.
Hi, Nick.
How you doing?
Not bad. How are you?
All right.
Good. I rang you about a year or so ago elsewhere, you probably won't remember. We were talking about the Live Stiff's album.
Stiff's
album.
Yes.
And I told you how my much-loved vinyl copy had been knackered by my dog.
Really?
I found it on CD.
Did you kill that dog?
No, she died otherwise. But
right.
It wasn't my fault, though.
Okay.
But I found the album on CD. I thought you might want to know the code so you can get hold of it yourself.
I think I might have it, actually.
Oh. I wasted half an hour to talk to you. Thanks a bunch. Like I wasn't even paying
for
school, eh?
Which label is it on?
It's on Diabolo. Diabolo.
I'll note that down in case I don't happen to have it in my...
Do you want the code number as well, out of interest?
Well, I would if I actually had a pen. This is a central...
Can I hold even longer for you?
Okay, I've come up with a pencil. It's as good as. Diabolo.
Yeah, and the actual code is DIAB851. But it's the whole album as it was originally, it's just...
I'll check it out. Does Ian Dury still say, cut out the spitting?
Is that what he says?
Yeah, except...
I never knew that's what he says.
Except he puts a swear word right in the middle of it.
Yeah, because, the swear word is still there.
Yeah, it used to be, that's the thing. In order to show your appreciation of a punk band, or in fact any band that happened to be playing live, that was unfortunate enough to be playing live in 1978,
yeah.
You started spitting at them. I believe they did the same to the London Symphony Orchestra.
Before my time, I'm afraid. Sorry. I'm going to rub it in, mate, but you know. Then the other thing I wanted to ask you, maybe I've missed out on a point I've made earlier. These Radar books, how does one person get them?
I don't think you can apply... I might be wrong about this, but I don't think you can apply to get one, but I think they just select people... based on characteristics that would make the entire group of people selected representative of the population.
I ask you because a lot of people I know listen to your program.
Yeah.
And if these numbers, if the figures are as bad as you're saying, then I'm wondering, what sort of criteria one's got to meet before you get one of these books.
I know. When I saw the figures, they basically when we come on, they go through the floor. There's so few people you
That's
might as
encouraging
well.
Encouraging for you.
Well, yeah, it's very annoying actually. It's the only time it's ever happened to me, personally. Like every time, I know this sounds like I'm blowing my own trumpet, but every time I've ever done a talk show, the figures have always gone through the roof. And with me and Carol doing it together, I really thought that we were going to start pulling big numbers, but
yeah.
Unfortunately, it doesn't sit well with the people. Like I said before. Who ordinarily listen to this radio station. They just
don't... You want to try and get hold of people like Mrs. Howell and Elizabeth from Cheddar and give them Radar books? And watch the figures shoot up again.
You see, they don't live in London either. So most of the people who listen to this programme don't live in London or don't have Radar books.
Yeah, you should be on a national station, Nick.
Well, thanks a lot, mate.
That's all right, mate.
0171 412 1152. It's LBC. Look at this, we've got calls actually lined up. I've been going through them rat-a-tat-tat, and this is almost beginning to sound like a professional radio show.
This is a journey into sound.
We'd like to apologize for anything that Abbott and McGiffin say.
Nick Abbott and Carol McGriffin.
Come on,
again. McGiffin?
No.
McGiffin.
Okay.
Nick Abbott and Carol...
Get a new voiceover.
Carol McGiffin.
personal voiceover.
Thank you.
Hello, sweetie.
Nick Abbott and Carol McGiffin on LBC, the voice of London.
Bom, bom. 0171 412 1152. Here's one in, I don't know where you are. Paul.
Hello there, it's Paul the Bedman in Woodford.
You are the Bedman.
How you doing?
You are the Bedman because?
Because I sell beds.
You sell beds.
Yes, and you're flying solo tonight.
Correct.
Lots of people phoning up though.
Yeah, so far it's been a little less pathetic than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, before I get on to my main point, the lady that hadn't indulged for a year.
Yeah.
A little bit of advice for her. Stop looking for Mr. Right and settle for Mr. Right Now.
Right now, yeah.
Exactly, because, you know.
Stick to selling beds and less of the comedy.
Yeah. Anyway, your show, how to make it the big success it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically you've got two good sort of funky presenters on it, nice bit of banter. So get some big name guests, spend some money on advertising, and syndicate it through all those sad little radio stations throughout the country that have got no one listening.
Well, that's an interesting thought. Don't think that that hasn't been suggested before.
Well,
and may well happen in the future. Who knows?
It will be good.
It's something to think about.
And why aren't you ringing Carol anyway? She said she had her mobile with her.
Because I don't know what her number is. Oh, I wonder if I said to her that I was going to call.
You
no, I'm
did.
Sure.
I'm sure. Leave it turned on. I remember hearing it.
I'm sure that I said that she'd have to call me because I don't know when it's appropriate to call. Because she could be, flat in her back with her boobs out, with a bottle of cider hanging from her lips, and that would be the wrong time to call. She could be, honking up the wedding cake, and that would be a dreadful time to call.
You think so?
So wait until she feels sober enough to take part in a professional radio show, and then we'll hear from her.
Okay. Well, I hope you do hear from her shortly.
So what's the most popular bed that you're selling at the moment?
The most popular bed, they're all popular because the trade is so appalling that all the manufacturers have got good offers.
Really?
Yeah.
The bottom has dropped out of the bed market?
The bottom has dropped out. I keep telling you everyone's moving, but they're not. They're staying put, and there are not enough people getting divorced or having children because that's always good for sales.
Isn't that interesting? You can gauge the health of the nation by the state of the bed market is.
That's right. Or they're buying computers so that they can email each other and talk about your show.
Instead of buying beds from an upstanding...
Upstanding, 20 years in the business, respectable guy like myself.
Really? And has it ever been this bad?
It's been quiet. It's been quiet before, but not for such a prolonged period.
Because I know a chap who sells CDs as well, and he says that business, he sells them right in the, smack in the middle of the West End, and he says that business is just absolutely abysmal. He's pulling his hair out over there.
Yeah, maybe people are just sort of holding on to their money.
But then, on the other hand, we keep being told by Tony and his cronies that everything's great and has never been better, and shut up and sit down.
I don't think I can remember a year when so many people in the trade have gone bust.
Really?
And also, you can gauge, however much they might talk it up, you gauge how busy things are by how quick suppliers deliver. And when people who are normally on a 6-week delivery give you a 2-week delivery, you know they're not doing the business.
Because the housing market is, we read this every other day as well, it's supposed to be going through the roof, and if you want a house or a flat or anything like that, you can forget about it because there ain't none. And there's 10 people going for every property, and if you want to sell your place, then people will be virtually snatching it out of your hands, they're so desperate.
Well, if you do look in a estate agent's window, you will find about 60% of the pictures of houses have got sold next to them, so there aren't new properties coming on because everyone's being greedy and waiting for the prices to go up.
No,
anyway.
Oh, you mean to sell? Oh, I see, I get you.
There you go, it's a bit serious for this light-hearted, bantery type show.
I suppose so, but you led us down this path.
You asked me about bed sales.
Oh, I guess
I tell you one.
What?
A bed.
Can you sell me a bed?
Yes.
Beds are supposed to last 10 years, right?
Depends how much action they get. But turn your mattress every month and they'll last twice as long.
Right, well, I bought my bed 3 years ago. And so if it really depends on how much action it gets, then talk to me in 20 years.
Oh, well. You have a nice weekend. I hope Carol gets in touch.
Ta-ta.
God bless. Bye.
0171-412-1152.
You're listening to the boy from the Big Bad City.
Oh, I wanted a nice Saturday evening.
It's Nick Abbott and Carol McGiffin.
01714121152. I've been very surprised and pleased with the amount of calls that have come in. This is kind of reflecting what happened last week. The calls were coming and coming and coming, but when me and Carol are here, we barely get a moment to talk to anybody else because she just never shuts up. I mean, we just never stop our witty banter. Excuse me. Oh, I have to do it again. Hang on. Gosh, that's better. 0171-412-1152. So if this response holds up over the next 2 hours, then I'm going to be skipping out of here. This will be my birthday present for tomorrow. Here's one in Walworth. Hello.
Hi, I'm Nick.
How you doing?
I don't understand your figures. If you pardon the expression. I tried to get a certain magazine with Carol's column in it.
Yeah.
Sold out. Can't get them.
And you think it's because of the power of this program?
What else could it be? I mean, there's enough advertising going on.
We've been talking about it for months.
Well, my news agent said, if there must be something in it, he said, it sold out as soon as it came in.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And what was... Oh, I guess you didn't see it. What,
no, I haven't been able
okay.
to find.
Anybody got Woman's Journal?
No, you see, I didn't want to say that.
Because I'd be curious to find out what's on the front cover. Because if it's like a naked picture of Posh and Bex, then that's the reason that it's sold out so quick.
On the front of Woman's Journal?
I don't know. I've never seen the...
No, I don't think on the front of Woman's Journal. Not the naked picture of Carol.
Oh. That's not why it sold out so quick.
Well, I don't need people to buy the magazine thrown in.
You know, if it did have something to do with this program, that magazine sold out so quick, and I find that very hard to believe.
What he said is never sold so many.
Really?
I'll usually send some back. Yeah.
Well, has anybody heard it advertised anywhere else? Has there been some massive... No, me either. All right, well, it's my birthday tomorrow. I'm going to take that.
It's your birthday tomorrow?
Yeah.
Well, many happy returns for tomorrow.
Thanks a lot,
and
Kathy.
As you say, this would be a good present if this keeps up for the next 2 hours, won't it?
Well, it will, yeah. It would be like a dream come true. Yeah. But if the Woman's Journal is selling so many copies, has got anything to do with this program, we've been yakking about it continuously for the last month or
so
then... I want some of the money that awful woman, Carol the Gibbon, is earning from that magazine. And plus, I want to go on some of the holidays that she is going on. Because,
you want her job? Well, half of her job.
Oh, can you imagine how fabulous that would be?
Magic.
I don't think that she believes that it's actually happened to her, because she was always on holiday more than any other person I've ever met.
That's right.
And now... She got a column just writing about the stuff that she does,
yeah.
Which is what she does. That's what we do here. We just talk about, basically what we do is we talk about what she's done. She starts talking at 6 o'clock, and I sit here and play in the ads, and then it's 10 o'clock, and she's barely paused for a breath.
I think you do a great program. See, the thing is, I think a lot of people enjoy listening to you two rather than phone in.
Well, that's the idea when there's both of us here. Mm. But when it was just me talking to myself for 4 hours, then that's, I would want to kill myself.
You see, Carol has to get Mitch in, you see. She can't do it on her own.
Oh, the show?
Yeah. Well, what else? You are smutty.
Me? You're the one that took the innocent thing that I just said and twisted around into something disgusting.
Let's not go there.
Woolworth.
It could tip the other side of Woolworth.
That's exactly where you should be. Those revolting people that live there. Where's Woolworth?
It's the south-east London.
See, exactly. Is it anywhere near New Cross?
Sort of, but not. I'll tell you what, it's in between Camberwell and the Elephant Castle.
Elephant Castle? Oh.
I know. Yeah, I know. Blimey.
Is there a more hideous place on the face of the planet than Elephant and Castle?
Oh, no, I'll blow it up and start again. If it was me, especially it's red now. But used to
is it
be...
red? It used to be bright pink.
I know, it's red now. It was painted red for Red Nose Day.
You're kidding.
No.
You are kidding.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
And they thought that would be amusing.
It was. I couldn't stop laughing when I saw it.
Elephant and Castle. There's no colour that they could paint that thing to make it not hideous.
It is hideous.
It's incredible that a human being actually came up with that.
I mean, well, the rumour we found, and again, this cannot be true, that the people who bought the franchise, that bought the centre, were called Pinkies.
Perfect. I think I'm going to pay Saddam Hussein to send some of his minions over to specifically blow that up.
Oh, it's horrible. Isn't it horrible?
The only good thing about it is the bus is... The only good view is in the back of the window of the bus as you depart and go somewhere nice.
Yeah.
This is the Voice of London on 11:52 a.m. LBC News.
It's 8 o'clock. I'm Nick Qureshi.